This is Diane Horn, your host on the Sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Colin McCrate and Brad Helm, co-owners of the Seattle Urban Farm Company and co-authors of the book Food Grown Right in Your Backyard, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Crops at Home, published in 2012. Colin and Brad are here today to tell us about their efforts to promote urban farming in Seattle and help Seattle citizens produce their own food. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
What led to your personal interest in growing food? Brad Helm, would you like to start?
I got started in college, actually. We both got started in college. We went to school at Denison University together, and they had a pretty interesting student-run farm there at the college, and we both got into growing food there. It was a really unusual place for our campus, a really good chance for students to get out and actually do some hands-on work as opposed to being a strictly academic thing. So we had the opportunity to go out and work in a large organic garden, and we had a flock of chickens and goats and bees. So that's kind of where our start was originally.
And Colin McCrate, how about you?
I didn't really anticipate getting interested in growing food, so it kind of caught me off guard, but it was in college where I guess I was looking for something to be interested in, and most parts of school didn't really appeal to me that much. I guess I realized that experiential learning was really important for me to actually be doing something rather than just sitting around and talking about it. And what I found was that for some reason, getting out and growing food, it made sense to me once I got started doing it. And I think a lot of the things that cascaded into what our belief system is now started there, because I wasn't eating a very healthy diet at that point in time, and I was eating lots of Pepsi and Cheetos. But once I started gardening, I started wanting to eat that stuff, and then I realized it was good, and then I realized I felt better, and sort of like transformed me, not even intentionally, sort of just did it on its own. I guess going through that experience made me start to think about why sustainable agriculture may be important for other people and myself and culture in general.
What was the motivation for starting your company, the Seattle Urban Farm Company?
I think that there were multiple motivations. I can think about my mindset when I was trying to think about the idea. Brad and I had both independently been working on small organic farms and had been in touch since college because we were both following the same sort of career path and trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to be farmers and what does that mean and what does that look like? And I know at the time I was actually kind of frustrated because I'd been working on different small organic farms for people that I thought were really amazing and doing really amazing work and growing amazing food. And part of it was that it was really difficult for people to make a living, which I think remains true. And part of my thought was, well, maybe there's a way to bring agriculture into the city where there's a lot more commerce going on and find out if there's a way to build a model where you could have a career or a job growing food in the city and maybe make a like an economically sustainable business model where it was like, I can support myself growing food, but I can also live in Seattle.
What do you mean by an urban farm?
Well, an urban farm entails a lot of different things. There's a lot of different directions you can go with that term, and people use it pretty loosely these days. I think an urban farm can be defined as anybody growing food in the city for themselves or for other people. And the way we use that term for our business is a lot of our work is building urban farms for homeowners. So basically going to their yard, either the front yard or the backyard, and putting in a garden or a chicken coop or a goat pen somewhere in their yard. Urban farms happen at schools a lot. We've built quite a few educational gardens for students to work in and get their hands dirty and also to put food back into their food system at the school. And then gardens on business grounds, on rooftops, gardens that are for both production, actually producing food to go into a restaurant or into a grocery store, or just for like pea patch or personal gardening. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it.
What is the mission of your company?
The mission of Seattle Urban Farm Company is to, I think, promote community, like gathering spaces, healthy lifestyles, and just sort of environmental awareness, like through growing food.
What was it like when you got started? How did you go about getting your first customers?
It was pretty crazy when we first got started. We didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into. We both had a lot of experience growing food, but very little business experience. So we had a lot to learn when he first got started and a lot of obstacles to overcome. There were no other businesses really who had a model that we could copy or work from. So we were starting from scratch. We didn't really know how to make a business plan. So we just kind of dove into it, got some tools, got a truck. Basically, we started selling plants at the Ballard Farmers Market and passed out our business cards there. And that was really how we started connecting with people. And the city was so receptive to what we were doing right off the bat. The press was great. People were great. Everybody was so excited about the idea of it. We're like, oh, we struck on something interesting. And it kind of all just went from there.
What are some examples of the different types of people who ask for your services and their motivations?
That's a good question. There are, it seems to me, lots of different types of people that are interested in it. A lot of our clients are what we would say are maybe like first-time homeowners, like young families or young couples or younger single people that have moved into a new space. And I think they're coming at it with a sort of a mindset where they just want to create a space around them that's productive and useful. And instead of sort of setting up a big ornamental garden, they want to set up something that, you know, it may be, it's still beautiful, hopefully, but it's also, it's doing something tangible for them. And they're saying, if I'm going to spend time taking care of this and use water to help it grow, then I want to be bringing something back from it also, you know, something I can eat, something that is very useful to me. And so that's one mindset. There's also a lot of those same people have young children, and I think it's really important to them that their kids see, you know, the process of food, like where food comes from is what people say a lot of times. Like, I want my children to understand where food comes from and that it's not just out of a bag at the grocery store. And I think that comes from the fact that a lot of people have grown up sort of removed from that. There's like a whole generation or two that never really had any experience growing food, and so never really understood what a broccoli plant looks like or how it grows or what it might be like to harvest it or anything like that. And I think people just want to sort of reconnect to that because they feel like that's something that's missing. You know, in addition to that, though, there's lots of other people. We help out people that have been gardening their whole lives but maybe are getting a little old and they don't feel like they can do all the physical things anymore, so we just go out and help them a little bit. There's a pretty wide variety.
It's been surprising how wide the range of people that get in touch with us is. It seems like people from all ages, all economic layers of strata. We've connected with a lot of different people from a lot of different realms, and that's been really exciting to see.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Colin McCrate and Brad Helm, co-owners of the Seattle Urban Farm Company and co-authors of the book Food Grown Right in Your Backyard, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Crops at Home. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. We've alluded to this, but what are the key reasons people ask for your help rather than just planting a garden of their own?
I think one of the big things that get people to give us a call initially is they need to help overcoming the initial inertia of going from a big lawn into a garden or a manicured landscape into a garden. I think it's just been so long that people have been disconnected with actually going out and doing physical work in the dirt that it's hard for them to conceptualize all the steps that need to happen to make a garden appear in their yard. So we come in and figure out those steps for them, and we oftentimes help them rip out the sod and bring in new soil, set up an irrigation system. So we get all those steps in place for them. And then we find that they often need assistance once the garden's in the ground. People often think, oh, it's easy from there. There's nothing to do now that the plants are there. But to grow vegetables, it really takes a lot of regular care. So us coming out for frequent visits after the garden goes in really helps people get off to a good start. And our goal is to make sure that the gardens are successful the first year so people really get engaged in the garden and stay with it. We find if people get a garden and it doesn't do well the first year, they become discouraged pretty quickly, and then it becomes a negative thing for them as opposed to a positive. So we try and approach it from that angle.
Do most of your customers plan to use the produce they grow primarily for themselves?
I would say most people, their primary motivation is to supplement their diet from the garden. But we do have a lot of other people that either are just surprised with how much it produces, and then, you know, we hear a lot of stories, oh, like, I had so much of this, I was giving it to my friends or I was giving it to my neighbors, and I just met my neighbors because I had to do something with all this kale, so I took it over there and I found out they were really cool people, in which is a really cool story to hear. And other people have us actually build gardens that are extra large just so they can donate, you know, donate to the food bank. That's something we get a request. I want to put an extra bed or an extra two beds in, and then I'll just give all that produce away.
Would you like to speak about the rooftop garden that you built at the Bastille restaurant in Seattle's Ballard neighborhood?
So the Bastille project has been really good for us, and I think for the Bastille. The restaurant opened in 2009, and from the outset, they knew that they wanted to have a garden on site. So they bought the building, and it's about 100 years old. So they had to do a bunch of sort of just structural work on it so that they could actually open a restaurant in it. And during the process of that, they decided to build it so that the roof was strong enough to hold a garden. The concern being that soil is very heavy, so they actually have to make it pretty strong. So they did that, and then, you know, we helped them design and set up the garden. And the garden was open in producing food from day one. And the idea is kind of just that I think the Bastille can show their commitment to local and fresh foods and sort of take that step. And it's cool because the chefs who work in the kitchen actually do all the harvesting and they choose all the crops that are grown up there. So it's sort of a collaborative effort. We go up there and plant everything and make sure that it's healthy, try to indicate to them when it's ready, although sometimes they are just up there often enough that they know when it's ready. And then we're just trying to get the space to grow as much food as possible. And we grow a wide variety of things, mostly like focus on salad greens and herbs and stuff that is highly productive in a small space.
How well has the rooftop garden worked during the winter?
You know, actually pretty well this past winter. Well, one, it was a pretty mild winter, so things were growing a bit more than maybe they normally would, but we transition in the fall to really cold tolerant crops. So we do a lot of spinach up there. We do miner's lettuce. But this year we focused on spinach. Spinach is probably like the most productive winter green. You can cut it and get four or five harvests off of it even through the winter. And so probably 75% of the garden was planted in spinach. The cool thing was, I think probably over the last year, there was not a single day where they couldn't harvest something off the roof.
Seattle has a great climate for growing a lot of greens year-round and through the winter. So that's something we really try and capitalize on with our production gardens at Bastille and other restaurants. And we're really encouraging people at home to go the same direction. It's something that's really satisfying to be able to go out in the middle of winter when everything seems cold and gray and it's pouring rain and actually have a bunch of greens out in your garden and pick them and bring them in and eat them for dinner. That's really unique to our climate here. So that's something we're trying to help people get into.
Do you have a sense of how many rooftop gardens there are in Seattle?
Right now, there aren't very many. It's something that I think there's growing interest in, but up to this point, we hope that projects, like successful projects like the Bastille, will help incentivize or encourage people to do that. I think up to this point, it's a new enough idea that people are sort of tentative to get started on it. And the one disadvantage of our mild climate is that we don't really have to build buildings strong enough to hold a lot of weight on the roof. Somewhere like on the East Coast where they expect they could have 10 feet of snow, like in a freak storm, the buildings will just be a lot more solid. And here, rooftops really aren't built for that. So many, many buildings in Seattle aren't really fit to have a garden on the roof. One of the things that we talk about a lot is if development starts to pick up again, that's sort of the easiest time to build new structures so that they can support that, because it's easier to build something brand new and put in a few extra beams in the roof than to go in and like open up an old building and try to fix it so that it can hold something on the roof. So we're hoping that going forward, it'll become something that's more like, you know, if you're building a new building in Seattle, one of the options you can say, oh, and we can also just build this to have a garden on the roof, and that'll become a normal thing.
Your book, Food Grown Right in Your Own Backyard, has just come out. What led you to write the book?
Ever since we started the business, we had been talking about writing a book, mostly because we hear the same questions or very similar questions from all of the customers that we work with. And we thought to ourselves, well, it'd be great to have a single resource that would address these questions that people are asking that don't seem to be covered in a lot of other gardening books that are out there. So we had it in our head ever since we got started and actually did some of the groundwork and started putting together a layout for the book and writing some of the initial chapters. And we were fortunate to connect with the Mountaineers Publishing Company and their Skipstone branch, and they were really interested in the idea, so we were actually able to make it happen here, and we're excited about that.
The idea behind the book is that we work mostly with people who are beginning gardeners, who have never done any gardening before, and so we tried to write the book from the perspective of not taking anything for granted, like not assuming they know what any of these terms mean, or not assuming that they know the general principles of gardening at all, but sort of start and say, you know, we're going to assume that this is a new idea, something you've never really pursued before, and write the book around that idea. Actually, the idea is somebody who's never gardened before can get the book, and it'll go through all the steps they would need to actually have a successful garden. And they could do that here in Seattle or anywhere else. And that was part of the idea, too, is that, you know, we have pretty limited range of service area, the greater Seattle area, but we actually get emails and calls from people all over the country that have just found our website for one reason or another and are interested in a similar idea or a service like that. So there's obviously people everywhere that want to start gardening for the first time. And so, you know, hoping that we've come up with some good ideas, we figured a book would make it easier for somebody, say, in Minnesota to buy that book and say, now I'm going to start trying to get a garden set up so that it's hopefully available to people everywhere.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Colin McCrate and Brad Helm, co-owners of the Seattle Urban Farm Company and co-authors of the book Food Grown Right in Your Backyard, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Crops at Home. Would you like to give a brief overview of the book?
We set the book up actually based on the process that we go through with a new customer who would give us a call, and we would schedule a consultation to come out and visit their yard. So we start off with site selection in the book, and we kind of walk the reader through a tour of their own yard and guide them to help them find the best sun exposure, which is really the most important thing in setting up a vegetable garden, and finding the microclimates in their yard, so spots where it's going to be shady and cooler in the summer and spots where it's going to be really hot and dry. That might be good for growing tomatoes and basil and things like that. And basically help them find the best site for growing vegetables in their yard. And then we move to garden layout and garden structures, and we talk about the different options for building raised beds or mounted raised beds in the ground. And we talk a little bit about dealing with slopes and making sure you have adequate pathways and the garden beds aren't too wide that they're hard to reach into. Having an accessible garden is super important for vegetables because you're in the space regularly, and if things are hard to reach or hard to get to, or you have to get yourself in an uncomfortable position to work in the garden, that is going to really discourage you from engaging in it. So we talk about those types of issues. We really like to push that the garden is out front and center in the yard, somewhere you walk by it every day and see it and can engage in it. The tendency, if you put a garden in the back 40 and don't ever look at it, is that it gets neglected. So from there in the book, we move on to the actual construction of the garden and the logistics of how you can bring in soil, how you can build beds yourself. We keep everything as simple as possible so it doesn't seem as daunting a task to somebody who's never done it before. And then from there, the book gets into more details about the actual culture of gardening. So what tools to have, some basic skills to know for trellising crops and how to fertilize using organic fertilizers and deal with pests organically. Then the book breaks out into crop profiles where we discuss common garden crops individually and give a lot of cultural information about each crop. So if you, say, have questions about growing carrots, you flip to the carrot profile and you can read, hopefully, all you want to know about carrots.
What tend to be the biggest challenges for beginning gardeners?
Well, that's a good question. People who have not really used a resource and are just sort of winging it, I'd say the challenges that they face are inadequate soil preparation probably would be the main thing. People don't prepare soil that's actually fertile enough for garden crops to grow in. But basically, the way that I think about it is the crops that you plant in a garden, you're asking a lot from them. You know, you want them to do a lot in a very short period of time and to produce as much food as possible. So you have to give them the resources that they need in order to do that. And what that means is they need, you know, adequate water and adequate space and adequate nutrients. And so it's really important that people just set up the garden soil properly so that the plants can draw everything they need out of it to grow successfully. And I think when people are first starting out, that's not really something that most people have thought about or really understand how much nutrition the plants actually need to grow. And so you go to a lot of gardens and people just have stunted or small crops or crops that just aren't producing very much for them. And so a big part of it as a beginner is really wrapping your head around, like, this preparation of the soil for my garden is far and away the most important thing I can do for short-term and long-term success.
Are there companies similar to yours operating in other parts of the U.S.?
Definitely. Since we've gotten started, actually, it's been pretty neat to see a lot of people call us from all over the country and say, hey, I'm starting my own gardening business. Can you answer some questions about what you went through getting your business started? And so we've heard from people from Texas, from New York, from South Carolina, basically all over the country, and their businesses have gotten underway and seem to be successful. So I think it's a growing movement in the country and worldwide. I think more and more people are getting into it, and I think it's going to continue.
What are your thoughts overall about the urban farming currently going on in Seattle?
Well, I think Seattle has actually been doing a lot for a long time, and we have, compared to most cities, I think, a really robust urban food production system. Like the Department of Neighborhoods runs the Seattle PPATCH program. Basically, they've set up a lot of park spaces, essentially, that are divided up into garden plots that people can sign up for and use, which I think is really impressive and has been around for a long time. And so there's like an established gardening culture in Seattle already. And then there's a lot of smaller projects like ours that are sort of popping up all over town, and people that are starting to do even like market gardening, where they'll borrow like a couple giant backyards and try to farm that and sell it just at a farmer's market. And I think it's actually really exciting times because people are just trying to figure out all the different models of urban farming that might work. And I think that in, you know, a few years, we'll all be hashing out sort of like, what's the most practical thing to do? Like, which of these models make the most sense in a city and maybe which ones don't? And I think everybody's just improving their systems all the time and learning from each other. And so I think it's really exciting. You know, the city as well, I think, is really supporting this. They just opened up a property down in South Seattle. It's called the Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetland. And basically it's a complicated story, I guess, but basically opened up this 7-acre property to be turned into like a functioning wetland and urban farm, which I think is pretty unique. From their perspective, I think it's a pilot program. If it goes well, then that means all the countless acres of city land, you know, there might be other opportunities for people to figure out how to grow food on them. So it's cool. I think we're sort of at the beginning of it becoming a normal part of city life. And I think that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we're really fortunate in Seattle that the city government is so engaged in urban farming and is a supporter of it. And they've been really progressive in changing codes and regulations to make urban farming easier for people and easier for businesses. So having that support from the city has been huge. And I know a lot of other people in other cities where codes are much more restrictive, it's a lot harder to get something started, either business-wise or personally. So I think that in itself is really unique to Seattle and is really going to put Seattle at the forefront of urban farming in the country.
Are there current or upcoming projects that you're planning to do that you would like to tell us about?
One project we just started working on is a new rooftop restaurant garden over on East Lake. There's two restaurants. It's Sushi Capo Tamura and Ravish Restaurants, which are right next to each other. And it's a really cool sort of collaborative project because it's a mixed-use building, which means, you know, part of it is condos and then part of it is businesses. So everybody in the building was able to agree that there was an area that was an established living roof, but they would convert it into an actual like production garden for the restaurants on the ground floor. And so we started working on that. And I just think it's really exciting because, you know, the people in the building are engaged in it. And then there's two restaurants that are right next to each other that sort of just have this really great relationship with each other. And they're basically sharing a garden space. And we're just going to be growing food up there to serve in both of those restaurants.
Just generally speaking, I think there's a lot of new ways to get people engaged in gardening. Instead of having an individual homeowner rely upon themselves to get a garden in, I think as we see development start to pick back up again, we hope that new construction will include gardening spaces for residents and businesses and restaurants as they happen and as they go in. And that's something that we really want to engage in. So gardening becomes more a part of the culture. It's something that you expect if you're going to buy an apartment, that you have a little spot to go out and grow some salad greens, or if you buy a house, so, hey, there's already a vegetable garden ready for me in the backyard. So we'd just like to make that more of part of the infrastructure of our outdoor areas, that people will expect to see a spot for growing food in addition to ornamentals.
Would you like to tell us about the truck you turned into a garden for the Northwest Garden Show?
Yeah, sure. In 2010, we did a little sort of art project. We called it Crops for Clunkers. And the idea was we took an old truck and sort of just turned it into as comprehensive of a garden as we could. So the whole bed of it was planted, and we actually took out the engine and planted stuff under the hood. We put a living wall on one side of it and then actually built a chicken coop out of the cab and attached to the side of it. And We did it for the Northwest Flower and Garden Show to sort of be a display garden there. And I guess the idea, the concept behind it was, you know, you can use whatever space you have and still make a pretty creative and productive garden and reuse things and whatever you have available. And you can use any context to grow food. The idea from the outset for us was we wanted to build it and then find a home for it somewhere in Seattle that would just keep it and upkeep it and want to have it around. And after the show, we were contacted by the Children's Play Garden, which is a really cool nonprofit organization. And they have set up a playground and garden down in South Seattle. And the idea is it's for kids of all abilities to sort of interact with. So it's built for wheelchairs and they have all sorts of programming so that sort of any kind of kid can go down there and use it. So the garden now also has the truck as part of it. The truck is parked down there permanently and they use it, they plant into it, and the cab is now turned into more of a play area, I think. But we got a really cool photo the other day from them where there was kids inside the cab watering the plants outside, like front through the windshield, which was removed and stuff. So it's been pretty cool to see it, like have a home and be serving a purpose.
What has been most satisfying about the work you do for Seattle Urban Farm Company?
I think one of the biggest things for me is the opportunity to engage with people directly so much. I've been really fortunate to work on a lot of great farms in the past and had a lot of opportunities to learn how to grow food. But this business has given me a really unique experience to take that and meet with people every day and really pass on information to them and see them get excited about growing food. And that whole process of working with people and seeing their interest grow and seeing how it changes their lives and seeing their kids get involved in the garden. Actually, for example, one of our customers, their daughter, we just put in a garden for them this year, and their daughter took in a head of lettuce for show and tell as opposed to a usual toy or something like that. And that sort of is a whole change in her mindset about her food. She never apparently ate vegetables in the past. So it's kind of experiences like that where you feel like you're really making a difference in people's lives and eating habits and the activity that they enjoy has been really satisfying for me.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Growing food is easy and you should just give it a try. It's pretty cool. You know, we both sort of just came into growing food on our own, which I think a lot of people do. You just get started doing it and you kind of get addicted to it. And I think it's a hard thing to argue with. Like once you start growing food and you're harvesting it and you're eating it, there's just this really intangible sort of joy that comes from it that I think is very unique. And I think that it's hard to not appreciate it once you try it out. So I think it's easy to start doing and it's easy to start doing small. So I think if people are looking for, I don't know, a new hobby or something to try out or just a way to get outside more often, it's a really easy avenue to just have a cool, unique, new experience.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's been a good time.
You have just been listening to Colin McCrate and Brad Helm, co-owners of the Seattle Urban Farm Company and co-authors of the book Food Grown Right in Your Backyard, A Beginner's Guide to Growing Crops at Home, published in 2012 by Skip Stone, an imprint of the Mountaineers Books. For more information, check on the web at www.seattleurbanfarmco.com. Again, that's seattleurbanfarmco.com. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.